Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Follow with me as I read. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole them away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask today for enablement to bring the message. I pray, Lord, that it might bring attention to Jesus Christ and what he did for us, that you died for our sins on the cross, and you rose victorious from the grave. We thank you today, Lord, for everyone who's here, and I pray that their needs might be met from the Word of God. We know that you know everybody's needs, and we know that you know how to speak to hearts so that they receive the message. And Lord, I especially pray if there's one here who has never yet trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, that today they might do that. I ask for enablement to bring the message, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday, a day when Christians celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. He is risen, and one more time. He is risen indeed. Amen. Even though there is an increasing assault on our Christian faith today, we are unashamed that we believe in the literal, supernatural, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. From Washington, D.C., we have heard some attacks on our Christian faith recently. At the annual Easter art event, which includes the Easter egg roll, the White House banned religious symbols in any overtly religious themes. Can you imagine on Easter? You're not allowed to have anything, any religious symbols. At the same time, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, issued a statement that read like this, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution of the United States, do hereby proclaim March the 31st, that's today, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. How sad. How sad, and also how dangerous, that on Easter Sunday, they would prohibit any religious symbols or themes, and yet they would honor the mental illness of transgenderism. But none of this changes the fact that we believe Jesus rose from the grave. The Bible defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Bible faith is this. It's believing in something we cannot see, but we have learned about from the word of God, and since God said it, we believe it. Now, what are some of the things we cannot see, and yet we believe because God tells us? Well, we believe in Jesus. I've never seen him myself, and I don't think any of you have ever visibly seen the Lord. And yet, we know that Jesus came to this earth, left heaven's glory, came to this earth to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and he did that. I've never seen Jesus die for my sins on the cross of Calvary, but I believe he did. That's faith. I never saw them bury Jesus in a tomb, but I believe they did, and that's faith. I never saw Jesus rise from the grave, but he did, and that's faith. In fact, I believe that God saves people today. Now, I can't see that in their heart. I can't see that transformation that takes place when God borns again a person, but I believe God does it, and we can see the evidence of it when people get saved. I've never seen heaven, but I surely believe there is one. Why do I believe that? Because God tells me so. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God told me it's true, and I believe it. I've never seen hell. I hope I never do. I know I never will. And I won't see hell because I know Jesus. But I know this, it's real. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says so. That's faith. I believe what God says. So let's consider this morning some things about our resurrection faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he actually rose from the grave. I was thinking about this and I was reading that passage in Matthew 28. I came up with these things about the resurrection. And first of all, the resurrection predictions. I believe that God predicted the resurrection. Of course, we read it in the Bible back in the book of Psalm 2, verse 7. The Lord mentions the resurrection, and we know that's true because Acts 13:33 describes what it's talking about in Psalm 2. Also in Psalm 16, verse 10, the same thing. And Acts 13:35 through 37 explain that that is the resurrection. So in the Old Testament, God prophesied the resurrection. But then we remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the whale, so the Lord shall be 3 days, three nights in the center of the earth. And so, or in the tomb. And so we know that he predicted it. But then there were some other predictions that were very clear. Look at Matthew chapter 16, if you want to look in your Bibles, and we see the times that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to rise from the grave. They should have known this, but they didn't quite get it. This is something brand new. They couldn't understand that. And so they didn't quite get it. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 21, he says this, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He told them, it's going to happen. I'm going to rise from the grave on the third day. In chapter 17, verse 23, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again, Jesus said of himself. And then in chapter Matthew 20, verse 19, Jesus said the same thing, 20:19. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So we believe in resurrection predictions. The Lord predicted it. He said it would happen, and it did. And we believe what the Scripture said, even back in the Old Testament. We also believe in what I'll call this morning the resurrection place. What was the resurrection place? Well, that was where they placed Jesus in the tomb. The Bible says in the passage we read this morning in verse 6, Matthew 28, verse 6, come see the place where the Lord lay. In Mark's gospel, it says it like this, behold the place where they laid him. And so there was a place. My wife and I have been to the Holy Land a couple of times, thanks to people who paid our way, or we wouldn't have been able to go. But we were able to see the tomb, which they believe is the tomb where Jesus lay. It probably was, because it's situated close to Golgotha, and it probably is the place. We don't know for sure. But we walked in that tomb, and of course there was nobody there. But that's many years removed. But I wasn't there when they walked in the tomb and he was gone. I wasn't there, but I believe it. I did not see it. I did not see the empty tomb, but I believe it. And by the way, the authorities had all kinds of opportunities to produce the body. I mean, if there had been a body around, they could have found it. If they had hidden the body, they could have found it. but they never did find it. In fact, they had to produce a lie that said his disciples came and stole it away while we slept. Those Roman soldiers, while we were asleep on the job. Oh, that didn't happen. And so there was no body. I wasn't there, though, to see it, but I believe it because the Bible says so. The resurrection place was empty. There was no body. Jesus was alive. Also, the resurrection person. I believe in the resurrection person. Who is that? That's Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and then other passages fill in these blanks, and Salome went to the tomb and found the stone rolled away. And the angel said, go and tell Peter and John. And they did. And then Mary went back to the tomb, and Jesus appeared to Mary. Isn't that interesting? The first resurrection appearance, Jesus chose a woman to experience it. She chose a woman to witness his resurrection body for the first time. In fact, she was a woman that a lot of us wouldn't want anything to do with because of her past. Jesus one time cast out 7 demons out of it. She was a demon-possessed lady, but God transformed her life. And God chose her to be the first one to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Also, he appeared to Peter, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. And then he appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You remember they were walking along, and this guy joins them. They don't know who it is. They don't know this, Jesus. And they said, don't you know about what's going on? He said, what? And they told about Jesus, you know, him being crucified, and some say he's risen from the grave. And the Bible says Jesus took the scripture and opened to them the word of God and showed them, probably from the Old Testament, things about him. And when they found out who it was, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he shared those things with us? And so he appeared to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus then appeared to 10 disciples, and Thomas wasn't present. You remember it's recorded in Luke, in John chapter 20. Thomas wasn't there, but he appeared, the Bible says, and the doors being shut. That means he just walked through the doors or walked through the wall. And he just came in there, appeared, and the doors being shut, and the 10 disciples saw him there, but Thomas wasn't there. They told Thomas about it, and he said, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Even though Jesus told him, remember, 4 times, I'm going to rise from the grave. He couldn't believe it. He said, I won't believe it until I see those prints in his hands and thrust my hand to his side. Well, about 8 days later, Jesus appeared again. The doors being shut, the Bible says. And Thomas was there. And he said, hey, Thomas, come over here. You wanted some proof. Come on, stick your hand in here. And Thomas didn't have to. He said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus, the resurrected Savior, appeared to these disciples. Then Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples, which included Thomas, and in Galilee. And there he gave them the Great Commission. And we read that at the end of Matthew chapter 28. And then later, Jesus appeared at the Sea of Tiberias to Peter. And that's when Peter and some others were there. But Peter, remember Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And that correspondence took place, or that conversation took place there with Jesus and Peter. But Peter saw Jesus. The one he denied, he saw him visibly. And then he was seen of above 500 brethren. I mean, at once. So 500 people were together, over 500 people were together, all at one time, and Jesus appeared and said, they had all these witnesses that Jesus is alive. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus was seen of James. And then Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me. And so he was seen of Paul. When did that happen? Well, Paul, you remember, was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord met him, and Peter said, who art thou, Lord? Or rather, Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And so, wow, Paul had been persecuting Christians, and in persecuting Christians, he was persecuting Jesus. And so he met the resurrected Lord. You see, I have not seen any of those appearances. I was not there. But There many were that were there, and God himself recorded it down so we could read about it. And God said it, and I believe it, and therefore that's faith in the resurrection person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also there's the resurrection preaching. The Bible says that Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He appeared to them after his resurrection. He appeared to them and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And therefore, I want you to go into all the world and teach." He said, "I want you to go and teach all nations." And then Mark's gospel, it says it like this. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And Luke's gospel, he also records it. It's a little bit different, but I want to read it this morning. And it's Luke chapter 24, verse 46. "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." He said, because I'm alive, you need to go preach this message. So there's resurrection preaching, and we have the preaching of the word of God over and over. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and he told those gathered there, he says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So everywhere people need to know that Jesus is alive. And it's our responsibility to do that resurrection preaching. And I believe that God wants us to do that. I did not see Jesus die on the cross of Calvary. I did not see them put him in a grave. I did not see him rise from the grave. But I have heard about it from the word of God. I believe it. And God told me, because of this, you go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And so I preach the gospel wherever I go. Most of the messages I have, some way I fit the gospel in about Jesus. We had a funeral yesterday. One of the main things I preached was the gospel. I always preach the gospel at a funeral. Some time ago, I had a funeral, and they said, "We just want you to preach for 7 minutes. I never had that happen before. But guess what I got in that 7 minutes? I got in the gospel. Why? Because God told me to go preach the gospel. There's a resurrected Lord. He died for our sins. He paid the price for us. He rose from the grave. He's alive. Everybody in the world needs to know about that. And so I'm to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's resurrection power. Resurrection power to transform lives. And I believe in that resurrection power. Because Jesus is alive, he can change lives. We see it in Peter. Peter was that denying follower. You remember Jesus said, "You'll deny me 3 times. And Peter said, "No, I'll never do that." And he denied the Lord 3 times. And the Lord looked at him, and Peter caught the eyes of the Lord, and it just broke his heart. And he went out and wept bitterly. Can a Christian fail? Can a Christian even deny the Lord? Yes, you can. But I tell you, once you do, and you realize what you've done, you'll weep bitterly. You'll really feel bad that you've denied the Lord. An unsaved person, it won't bother them. But a Christian, it will. And Peter was really bothered by that. Well, Peter changed into a wonderful preacher. He was a dynamic preacher. And he preached that message at Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. And guess what he preached about? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a transformed life. And then Paul, you remember Paul, he was Saul at first. And then he was persecuting Christians. He was the one that held the cloaks while they stoned Stephen to death. I mean, just imagine stoning. That's an awful way to die. Big stones hitting you, and then you fall to the ground. They throw more stones on you and bash your brains out. I mean, it's a terrible death. And here's Paul, Saul, holding the coats and actually putting his stamp of approval on what they were doing as they stoned Stephen to death. That was Paul. And then he was on his road to Damascus to put other Christians in jail because he believed this Christian faith was something that was wrong. And then Jesus met him and said, "Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads." And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And he was changed. He met the resurrected Lord and changed him. And so he became not a persecutor of Christians, but he became a persecuted Christian and spent many, many years of his life in jail. And he did a lot for the Lord. But then he traveled, establishing churches. This man who was an enemy of Jesus Christ met the resurrected Christ, and it transformed his life, that the power of the transformation of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And he established churches, probably in the island of Cyprus, also at Perga, at Derbe, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, and probably others. This man, who was a persecutor of Christians, became the greatest apostle and the greatest missionary probably who ever lived. Why? Because of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And then there's transformed lives of multitudes since that. And I imagine some of you today could say, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I can't believe what I used to be and what I am now. God's changed me. Transformed lives. And that the Lord does that. Why? Because he's resurrected. He's alive. He's the Savior who can transform your lives. And then also there's resurrection promises. I want to list you some resurrection promises. The first one I think about this is the Lord says, if you will believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave and call on him to save you, he will save you. That's a promise. I took him up on that many years ago, and guess what he did? He saved me. How many of you can say you took the Lord up on that and he saved you? Many, many. Why? Because you believed in the resurrection. And the Lord says, if you would believe that, he will save you. You came to him in repentance and faith. You believed on him, called on him to save you, and he saved you. That was a promise that he kept, and he's still keeping. Also, he has the promise, because of the resurrection of Christ, of victory over sin. In the book of Romans, we read about it. I want to read you that passage, Romans chapter 6. It says in verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Yes, the Lord, because he is resurrected, can give you the power to have a changed life, and he promises that. He promises you that if you'll trust him as your Savior, he will change your life, and he'll allow you to live in victory over sin, not bondage to sin. And so there's that promise. There's also the promise that he will return. In the book of Acts, we find it recorded about the Lord's promise to return. It's very familiar, but I want to read it to you in Acts chapter 1. And it's after he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then it says this in verse 11, the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why ye stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Because of the resurrection, we are promised he will return. And Jesus is coming back. Whether President Biden believes it, where he can be so bold to make some kind of proclamation like that for Easter Sunday, believe me, Jesus is not intimidated by that. He's coming back. He'll be in his time, but he will return. He'll also give us a glorified body. The Bible tells us that we're going to receive a glorified body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's that great passage that defines the gospel and also tells about the resurrection of ourselves. It says in verse 20, first of all, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, because Jesus rose from the grave, there's going to be others rise from the grave. We'll get to experience that because of him. That's what the resurrection means to us. And so that's a promise that we're going to have that. In verse 35, he says this, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" And the Lord's answer begins in verse 38. "But he giveth it to it a body as it seemed pleased, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." God's going to give you a body that pleases him. Now, if you ever wonder, am I going to be satisfied with the new body I get? Believe me, if God's satisfied, you'll be satisfied. And God says he's going to give you a body that pleases him. Then he goes on to say he's going to give you a body that's celestial. See, the bodies we have now are fit to dwell on this earth, but they can't dwell in heaven. Not these bodies. God's going to change these bodies so we'll have a brand new body, and he calls it a celestial body, a body fit to dwell in heaven. Also, it's an incorruptible body. Now, many of you, all of us, will look forward to that, because corruptible means we break down. You know, we take comfort in the fact that God holds everything together, but some of us wonder if he's losing grip because it seems like things are falling apart. God knows what he's doing, but I'll guarantee you, he has it all together. And he's going to give us a body that someday will never break down, never get a headache, never get a pain, never have any problems whatsoever, never wear out, a body that's going to be forever and ever. It's an incorruptible body. Then he says he'll give us a glorious body. That 1 Corinthians passage says that we're sown in weakness, we're raised in glory. We'll have a glorious body. He says he'll give us a powerful body. And when we die, many times our body has been racked with pain, and sometimes we've been overcome by sickness, and we're very weak. But the Lord says when he gives you a resurrected body, it'll be a powerful body, a powerful body. And then he says it'll be immortal. That means you'll never die. You'll never die. That body you have will never die. That brand new body will last forever and never die. Why is that true? Because Jesus rose from the grave, guaranteed by his resurrection. It's a promise. He also, we promise that we'll see our loved ones again. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 4, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope." You Christians who have lost believers in your family, and they, you know they're with the Lord, but you're separated from them. The Lord says you will see them again. Why? Because Jesus rose from the grave. And because he did, you will, they will, their bodies will be raised, and you'll be able to see them again. But the most important thing of all is because Jesus is alive, we're going to see him again. 1 John chapter 3, "Beloved, it not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to be like him. What's that mean? Glorified body. Like he had when he came from the grave, a glorified body. He could walk through a wall, there's no problem. But he never have any sickness, never have anything like that in the future. We never will as well. Because we're going to have a body like unto Jesus, and we will see him. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to see Jesus. We're not going to be just a spirit floating around heaven. We're going to have a body, a literal body. And Jesus will have a literal body. And you will see God because you will see Jesus, who is God. And the Bible says we're going to see Jesus again. Yes, by our resurrection faith, we believe in resurrection predictions. We believe in resurrection place. The tomb is empty. We believe in that resurrected person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We believe in resurrection preaching, and that's why we preach today. We believe in the resurrection power and transforming lives, and we believe in resurrection promises that God gives to those who know him as their Savior. I really feel sorry for those who make such bold moves against the Christian faith. I really feel sorry for those who don't want to have anything to do with the resurrected Jesus. Because they're going to be eternally regret that decision. Because the Bible says if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, trust him as your personal Savior, and believe that he rose from the grave, you will not be able to be with the Lord. In fact, you'll be in the opposite place, not in heaven, but in hell. And that's an awful place to be. And regardless how many of these people move against our faith, we have to be careful that we don't hate them or anything like that. But we feel sorry for them. They need Jesus. They'll not experience the happiness you can have when you know Jesus unless they trust him as their personal Savior. I'd like to close with this morning with that favorite passage, that famous passage in Romans chapter 10. That makes it clear how important it is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he's risen from the grave. And the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it means everything about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He left heaven's glory, came to this earth, became a man so he could die on the cross for our sins. And then it adds this, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe in the resurrected Christ, you cannot be saved. For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not been saved, what a wonderful day it would be to be saved on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. What a wonderful time it would be to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know for sure you're going to see him someday in heaven. You're going to have a brand new glorified body that you'll be able to enjoy throughout all the ages to come. And you'll be present with the Lord. Wherever he is, there you're going to be because of the resurrected Jesus Christ. If you've never turned in faith to trust Jesus as your Savior, I hope that you will. Even today, let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us of our resurrection faith. It's so important that we believe in the resurrected Lord. And Lord, it's not something that's just local, that some people have a religious persuasion. It's nice if they're sincere about it, because you told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs to know Jesus. And Jesus himself said in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, there's peace in only one way, and that's through Jesus. There's forgiveness in only one, and that's through Jesus. There's promise of wonderful things in the future because of Jesus. I pray that if there's one here today who's not saved, that today they will be. Before it's too late, we pray in Jesus' name.